Welcome to the In Awe podcast, where we amplify women and empower a community through the mission and their message. I am your host, Sarah Johnson, English teacher and school principal turned author and entrepreneur, living my own leap of faith on a mission to teach masses. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sarah S. A. Johnson. Be sure to subscribe to the In Awe podcast so you can join me each week as I feature women who will leave us all in awe of their impact on our world. Hello and welcome to the In Awe podcast and season 5 with our kickoff interview episode. I am so excited for the new season of this show and what we're going to be able to bring with you from these messages to make sure that the mission and these messages land for you. If you don't know that we are moving into a new format, please go ahead and check out Jolts 99 and 100 so that you can know what to expect for the In Awe podcast. But for now, I am super pumped to share with you a very special guest. In this episode, you will learn more about our connection, and you will hopefully jolt yourself to just spend some time with the people around you that you've built connections with. That, I have a podcast that I can interview people on, but I often think how amazing it would be if we just looked around our own world for inspiration, because there is so much awe-inspiring people that we can gain and know a little bit more about. So without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce the guest for today. Heather Cox knew that she would be an educator since she was young, designing Sunday school lessons for her dolls. And after 22 years, that still describes her heart. She is passionate about intertwining her faith in every part of her life, whether it's as an elementary school principal, a wife, a mother, or a public speaker. Heather's greatest joys are her 3 grown children and her amazing husband, who is a mental health therapist. Heather writes devotional messages about prayer and leadership in her blog. In this episode, we discuss Heather's journey into the principalship and what fuels her passion for the position. She shares her experiences in melding her history in mission work and how her faith continues to guide her path, and how her motherhood journey has shifted as her children have grown, and how she continues to care for herself to lead strong. Friends, I hope that there is joy in hearing our authentic connection with one another, that there is inspiration in her messages for faith and leadership, and that you just sit back. And if you already know Heather, that you get a chance to know some more details about her. And if you've never met her, that you just really enjoy this comfortable, caring, warm, authentic conversation with an absolutely incredible person and leader, my friend. It is with great honor that I share with you why I am in awe of Heather Cox. Welcome, Heather Cox, to the In Awe podcast. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning. It's bright and early, and I am chipper.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. It has been a long time coming, and I am really honored. And I was thinking about the fact that our lives have been connected for a long, long time, and it's really fun to think about the different ways. And one of the things that I'm so grateful for is your specific ability to just see people no matter the role they're in. So I think we should unpack that a little bit. But before we start, I read your bio ahead. Can you just share, what is your current context? Since we're recording here in November 2023, what are you up to in the beautiful world of ours?
Yeah, I am an elementary principal in Shell Lake, Wisconsin, in a pretty small district, which you know quite well. But this is my 9th year as a principal here. And I think it's like my 22nd year in education altogether. Just loving being in this role still, in the hard moments and the celebrations and all of that.
9 years. Did I hear you right?
Yes. Doesn't that seem like that flew by?
It's funny because when you're living it, it doesn't really, right?
No. But I was thinking, like you said, we've known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it's been maybe 13 then. No, more than that.
Yeah, 13. It has to be, because my oldest is 14 and I met you prior to her. Born.
I think right when she was born is when I met you.
Listeners, we should unpack that a little bit. So Heather was my work BFF, as I always said that, because I worked in a small town in northwestern Wisconsin where we had, 300 kids K-12. And I was the English teacher there, and we had a lot of transition in the math department of one.
Yes. Yes. Very small school.
Yeah. And so that position just kind of always flipped. And I always just said that I would make the math teacher my work BFF. And we didn't have a long time necessarily, a couple years of working together. I think actually we ended up being co-advisors for student council together, didn't we?
Yes, we did. That was a lot of fun, especially with your passion for Halloween extravaganza.
Right, because in that school we did the haunted house. That's so funny. Oh my goodness, the memories. And then here's the cool thing too. I love how our paths have just kind of continued to weave together. When I became a principal and left, we were able to stay connected. And I found that not a ton, but enough. And I found that to be just a really joyful light. Like you would just kind of bleed in and out of my life. I will never forget when you came, you were doing your practicum, right? So you had to shadow a principal. And for some reason you chose to come see me.
I think it was your first year too. And I was like, but this will be fun.
Oh gosh. It absolutely was my first year. And I'll never forget one of the things you said. You was like, you're wearing dresses.
I don't think you wore dresses when you were teaching. Maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't. You know what? Because this is just an interesting insight. And because most of the listeners are educators, when I got into education, I had this, you know, real big vision that it was super professional. And we would be wearing blazers every day, right? Like, I know I was a product of the 80s or 90s, whatever. But yeah, in the culture at the school we taught in, well, you wouldn't have ever met him, but one of my colleagues at the time, I'll just never forget, he came into school wearing a sweatshirt with a big fish on it. I was like, okay. So I had to learn, I did learn to adjust to that culture, you know, because otherwise, well, for a while, I kind of stood out and made my own fashion choices, but I never felt like I fit right doing that. So I felt like the principalship was an opportunity to kind of reinvent myself professionally and my appearance. So there you go. Anyway, short story. Yeah. And then we got an opportunity. So the cool part was I was in my principalship several years, but you and I just kind of always connected here and there. And you started your journey in the school district that my husband has taught in and my kids go to, which is really cool.
In the town that you've lived all of that time.
Yeah. And so, you know, moving forward to that, our connection listeners, I have had what I feel to be just an incredibly beautiful opportunity, not only to have, you know, these connections that we've shared, but also work in the building where Heather is the leader. And so when you've heard me share about the fact that I was a library media specialist, I got the opportunity to have Heather be my principal. And I hope that I shared with you enough times to be so grateful to watch your leadership, to be a part of that leadership, to have this wonderful presence of a leader come into my classroom and just feel that softness. And it was just a really beautiful couple of years working in that position and have that connection with you.
Yeah, it was really special. And I will say, when you were hired, there was another person in our building who was hired who had also been a previous principal. And I felt a little bit like this could be interesting, having people who have, you know, such strong leadership skills. And I wouldn't say I was intimidated necessarily, but, you know, there's a little piece of like, oh, are they going to question or judge how I'm doing things? And both of you made me feel so just supported and encouraged throughout that couple of years. And, you know, there were some hard things that happened, you know, post COVID was not easy for anybody. And just with everybody getting back into school mode and school culture. And I just appreciated your positivity so much. And it lifted me up as a leader. And honestly, I will never forget that you did such a wonderful job of celebrating the principals your first year through Principal Appreciation Month. And I didn't even know that was a thing. Oh. So that was a gift to me.
I'm so glad to hear that. And honestly, too, because that colleague is still there. And I think probably anybody who's been a principal before has an empathy that others just can't. Unless you've been behind that desk, you just don't understand the challenges associated with it. So it's just an interesting, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have lived that. And I'm so grateful that that served you, because you do so much that people just don't see or understand. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you did get celebrated in October. I wasn't there, darn it.
That's okay.
Okay, so we have to just really kind of unpack this whole, what in the world made you decide to become a principal?
Okay, so that's interesting. I think some people go into administration, like, you know, and I think about you specifically, even like you knew that was something you wanted to do. You wanted that role. And a lot of people, I think, in this job, they had kind of a vision for it. I never really did. I never really wanted to be a leader. I thought I have to get a master's degree to get my license renewed, or I had to get so many credits. And I thought, well, why wouldn't I just finish this degree? So I did the degree. And the whole time my husband kept saying, well, you're going to try to get the job, right? And I kind of just pushed that aside and pushed it aside. I don't know if I want to do that or not. It sounds awfully hard. And I think I had some, I mean, I'm going to be honest, pretty vulnerable here, but I had some fear about it. I was not sure if I could handle certain things about that job. And from the outside looking in, you don't completely understand everything that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, or how you will respond when you're actually in the role. But anyways, I was a little bit anxious. And one of the things that I was doing during that time was really praying about what God wanted me to do. And I can remember saying, I don't really want to do this. I don't think I want to do this, but if you want me to, God, then you need to show me. And I was reading the book of Joshua, and he's a leader. He's leading the Israelites. And in the very beginning of the book, God says, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be courageous, because I will be with you wherever you go. That has kind of been my vision that propels me forward. And I felt like, okay, it's not just me. I'm not walking this road alone. And that's kind of what pushed me forward. And I ended up being in the best place I could be. I'm so glad I'm in Shell Lake. And as a matter of fact, I don't know that I could do a different job at this time. I love what I'm doing.
It's really powerful, that story. And I'm so glad to hear it again. I have heard that from you before. And it always just strikes me that you are a person who very honestly grounds themselves in faith. And, you know, hearing that you're choosing this position because you had some fear, but you're kind of stepping into it through courage. I'm struck by the fact that even after 9 years, I'm going to make an assumption that there are some days that fear creeps up.
Yes.
And, you know, just having that core memory there to keep guiding you is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said that you're not sure if you could do any other job. I think you and I have had conversations before. If you weren't being a principal, what do you think it is that you would do?
I think, interesting, my husband and I had this conversation the other day too. I think I would be doing something a little more missional. I think you also know that I spent some time overseas as a missionary. I recently was able to speak at a women's Bible retreat. And those kinds of things really just get me excited. You know, and being in public education, I'm able to live my faith, of course, but you know, you're not in an opportunity to share it. And I do find the most joy when I'm able to do that. So that would be a really something like that, whether it's speaking or teaching or something more directly related to my faith.
It's interesting because I don't know if the listeners, if you picked this up, but Heather, when you were sharing that story, you know, about your journey, there's just like a shift in your voice that signaled in my brain as I was listening. And I was flashing back to the time when I had the beautiful opportunity to watch you speak at a local church that had a leadership conference for women. And I was so struck by just thinking, she belongs doing this work. Mm-hmm. There's something just very powerful about the way that your passion comes through when you are speaking from a space of faith. And I also want to make sure that you hear, I also am in awe of you as a leader in the public school setting, living that faith out. But I don't know if I've ever said that to you. And it struck me as you were speaking here on the podcast too, that your voice just shifts when you re-listen to it. I hope that you hear that. There's just like this gentleness that comes about, but it's almost like a firm gentleness. I don't know how to describe it. but it's really beautiful. And I love that you can live that all out at the same time. Like, it doesn't have to be either or, one or the other, because you get these opportunities to use your voice and to share your message in that faith space, as well as this daily living that is a little different, right? But you live it every day. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. And that's a really great point too. You can't, you don't have to, it's not just one or the other. So, yeah, lots of different opportunities to live life to the fullest and do the things that are you're passionate about.
Yeah. I think sometimes we get caught up in the vocational elements. Like, well, what are you going to do to get paid? Right. Like, it's just like with the story about your husband saying, are you going to use it? Right.
Yes. Yes. And yes, there is a piece of that, right? You have to make money. You do. But I like what you're saying too. I think that, even earlier in my life, before I even went back into teaching, when I was a stay-at-home mom for a little while, that's what I was doing, was a lot of speaking and writing and things like that. And I thought maybe that would be my vocation. And so to have this sense of like, yeah, you don't have to choose one or the other. That's pretty powerful. You can do both.
You can do both. And now we've got to hear a little bit more about this, because I love the dynamics of your history, just as well as your, you know, current context. I know that you're a blogger.
Yes.
And you kind of dropped that you did mission work. So let's kind of go back to some of these, because you're not a Wisconsinite.
No, I'm not.
Let's hear about that journey. You said you were a stay-at-home mom for a while. You know, what was that time period of your life? Where were you? How'd you come to Wisconsin? Kind of however you want to unfold that.
So I'll go back just a little bit. Right out of college, I went overseas and was a missionary for a couple of years. And I was in Ukraine, actually. And then I went to Moody Bible Institute, and that's where I met my husband, in Chicago. So otherwise, I'm from Arizona. So how would I have ever met a Minnesota boy? So we met in Chicago. And because he's a Minnesota boy, we ended up in Wisconsin. So I've been in Wisconsin now for like 19 years. I've lived here a very long time. But we lived a lot of places before this. So I won't get into the weeds of that. When I had my third child, they were kind of boom, boom, boom. And I was like, how can I pay daycare for three kids? They were all three and under. And I thought, this is silly. I can't manage my life and being a mom to three littles and try to pay daycare. And so we said, you know what? Why don't you just stay home for a little while? And I stayed home for, I think, 4 or 5 years. And 1 year I taught online, which was good. But I really just enjoyed that time as a mother. I was able to soak it up. And I know you had a little bit of time where you were able to be home with your kids too. And it's so powerful to get that one-on-one time with your kids. And I really look back on that with fondness, even though during that season, I was a little bit itching to be doing more, you know, It's hard to sit at home, but it was a gift. And during that time, I did a lot of, like, I taught Bible studies at church, because you could go and do that on a Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to be intentional with my giftings. And that was when I thought, that's when I started blogging. And so I blogged for about 4 or 5 years. And in the blogging world, that was really popular then. This is early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And before podcasts.
Right.
I was doing some speaking and, you know, like at MOPS groups and things like that. And yeah, I was just really passionate about that and was enjoying it. And it filled my bucket up. Just that's what refuels me, I think, is being able to do those kinds of things and share my faith in those contexts. So yeah, that was kind of that little blip. And then I went to Birchwood, where you and I taught together.
And that's where we picked up the story. And I find, I just love it, because obviously a lot of my influencers in the faith community kind of have that same journey. And it's striking me right now how I feel like your path could have absolutely gone in a couple of different directions. You know, that whole element of pouring into the faith community, writing, all of it. And I think that I'm grateful first of all, that your path went this way so that I could meet you, but that you, so you could have this ripple of generations that educators have the opportunity that nobody else gets. I know that I have a sense that these passions in you are not going to be done. You know, that's the beautiful part. You can be done with the vocation of educational leadership, but this element for you, I think I just can see can really bubble over.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
And you mentioned you have three kids, and I just wanted to say that back when I was a teacher, I did not want to have children. It was almost ridiculous joke. We would say reason number 3,456 why I'm not going to have kids. And I still have to unpack why I did that. But there was a kid at the school at that time that really, actually a couple that influenced me to be like, maybe I could do this, because they'd bring their kids in and I'd see them and play with them. And I've always loved children. I'm the youngest of seven. I've always had kids around me, but your youngest was another. I was like, oh, this sweetheart, because I'd be on hall duty and your youngest would just have this big, bright smile that would light up a room. And, you know, I think he gave me a decoration for my cart once, you know, to put on it. And here's this beautiful transition where you've raised these wonderful kids here in this community. And I got the opportunity just for a couple of years then to work with your youngest again, when I was back in the library. And all I can think of is this big, beaming, beautiful smile on this young man. You want to talk at all about your children? Because I know they're a source of great joy and pride for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because one of the questions you asked in preparation was, you know, what are you most proud of? And I thought, oh my word, that's kind of where I'm at right now in this stage of life, because all three are out of the home now. You don't get to enjoy their presence like I used to, and I miss them so much. But because they're friends, they have grown into a place where I look to them and I'm inspired by what they're doing. You know, it's an awesome place to be. I'm just so proud of who they are. They're human beings. They're going to make mistakes. They're not, you know, infallible, but I feel like, how did you come from me? Where did you come from? How are you so, you know, and each one has their own gifts. My oldest is just, wow. She's just so intelligent and hardworking and passionate and committed towards her goals. And I just am so proud of her. And you mentioned my youngest, who is, he's just kind of a light. He just shines where he goes, and really genuinely cares about people and will stand up for what is right, no matter how hard that might be. And I've just been so proud of him in the ways he's done that. And my middle child is just got this beautiful homemaker heart. She just loves to, she's not even 20. And she's like wanting to cook things. And I just look at all of them and I'm like, you have things I don't have. You have strengths and gifts I don't have, but it's just a pleasure to see them grow into who they are. What a gift.
What a gift.
To be part of that.
Yeah. And I would say that whichever one was in charge of baking the cupcakes for your youngest graduation party, is that?
Yeah, that'd be the middle one. Yep.
She oh my gosh.
A baking business. I mean, yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Yeah. I dream about those churro. I dream about the churro cupcakes.
I'll have to make you some more.
I love it. So this is, you know, here's the thing too, for listeners. I know, and I deeply appreciate the fact that you are in a new space. Now it's empty nester time. I think I was struck, was that, I don't know if it was last year, you're like, I think it's different when you don't have kids. I'm kind of bored at night. I'm like, what? I don't understand, but I've been watching you go through this journey of kind of filling that space with a new chapter, maybe, you know, welcoming back friendships and some self-care. And you want to talk at all about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mentioned that I got to do the retreat this fall, and that was really huge, because you have to have time to really pour into preparing for those things, you know, all the messages and whatnot. And that was such a gift. And then a couple of years ago, I started doing the Ice Age Trails in Wisconsin. There's a challenge they do in October. It's called the Mammoth Challenge, and it's to hike 43 miles in October. And that's something that is just, it gets you outside and is gorgeous in October to be out on the trails. And sometimes it's just me and my dogs, and sometimes it's me and some friends. And that has just been really a joy-filled experience for me, and something I have always loved to do. Again, having the time and the space to do it a little bit more now, and that's been really fun.
That's
So,
fine.
but I will say, I think like the thing about me being bored at night, and why I even say I don't know if I could do a different job, is I think I'm a little addicted to the adrenaline rush of like having to go here and do that and solve this problem, go here and be there. And ooh, I just think you start to slow down and you're like, I don't know how to live this slow.
Yes, which I feel like should be an entire podcast episode because a couple things struck me. First, listeners, Heather is amazing and lets me come in and sub while she's away. I did that pre-COVID and then again now. And my observation the other day, not being in the principal role for this long and then every day is like, it's exhausting. You just, I know that, but it's when you're kind of just kind of bleeding back into it a little bit and you realize, okay, how many steps I actually get in a day versus having to force myself to in any other role. And the amount of decisions, and as you said, you know, when a situation comes up, you don't exactly know how you're going to react in every particular moment. It is such a different experience. It's a mentally, emotionally, spiritually intense job,
Yeah,
is the best way I could put it. And so, kind of dipping back into that every now and then, I appreciate that you said it's almost like an adrenaline junkie.
yeah, it took me a while to realize that's what was going on, because it's like I've had to do a lot of classroom subbing. Not as much. Well, I shouldn't say that. Oh, who knows? I might have to sub today. But anyways, because of the shortage of subs and after COVID and all of that, so I had to do a lot of subbing, and I really enjoyed being in the classroom. It was a lot of fun to work with the kids and everything. But even in the classroom, like, you have to have a lot of patience and wait time, and they're working on something, or, and I can remember feeling like, okay, I'm not solving a problem every 5 seconds. I'm a little bit antsy. It's just a different job. And slowing down is a good thing too, though. And so, you know, finding the peace and the pleasure of that is important for us as well.
And as an Enneagram 9, you're supposed to be the expert at
You know, I know I can be. I definitely can be. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just appreciate it. I know that you have got a very big job to get to. So I want to get to those two standard questions that I ask at the end of every episode. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you could write a letter to yourself at any age or stage, what would you say?
I was thinking about myself just in my younger years, like teenage, college years. I just think I would encourage myself to be more confident in my path and life choices. I think I made good choices, but I had a lot of timidity as a young person. I was kind of mousy. And like I had mentioned even before I became a principal, I doubted my ability to do that or my desire. And I can think of some other experiences as a young person. I would tell myself, you have no idea. Wow, I got emotional. Sorry. But you have no idea what challenges you will face and overcome. Like, you have it in you to be strong and to do hard things. And I think I would tell myself that, like, don't sit in the corner. Get out of the corner because you have something to offer.
That's so beautiful. I love that you got that emotion came over you, because it meant that that message was meant for you and also for someone else. Whoever's listening, that I love that question, because that passion comes from a space of a mission and a message. And I love that. I'm so glad you got out of the corner. Keep staying in that center lane. You belong there. You are such a wonderful leader, Heather. And I'm so glad that you stepped through that. How about this one? If listeners find themselves in a pit of fear or doubt, what could you say to help them rise up out of it?
Well, I would go back to what I had shared before. You know, I really believe that when you are feeling that fear and that doubt, that we have one place that we can go. And when you know that you're not walking this path alone, it's endurable. We have patience, we have hope, we have strength, and we can have love for those who are unlovable when we walk side by side with the Lord. And so that's what I would say is my biggest strength and encouragement every day in this job is through prayer, starting the day with prayer, walking the halls in prayer, bringing every frustration and challenge and worry to God in prayer. And when we cast our cares on Him, He cares for us.
It's a very beautiful image and a strong sense of who you are as a leader. And listeners, you heard that, grounding yourself before you try to jump into the chaos and even while you're in it. Obviously a very important spiritual practice and grateful that you would share that with us. I have had such a great time having this conversation with you, Heather. I am grateful every day that I got to have you in my life, that I get to have you in my life, that our students and our learning community and everybody gets to get a piece of you, and also that you would share it here on the podcast. My listeners, I know, are going to be deeply inspired. And so my question for you is, what is the best way for them to engage with you after this interview, should they need to feel that need to do that?
I love it. I do have a blog that is called A Principle of Prayer. So hopefully you'll link that in your guide or something. And that would be a place where they can hear more about what is going on with me and my heart for prayer, especially.
Awesome. Listeners, you know that we will get that linked up. And Heather, I just appreciate you so much and so grateful. Hope that you have a beautiful day. And if you end up subbing today, that you get those moments of quiet reservation and reflection to keep yourself grounded in what you've got to do for the day.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sarah. It was a pleasure. This was a lot of fun.
A pleasure was all mine.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We will see you on the next episode.